Brother Joseph, we received on the email a very challenging and controversial question. First of all, God bless you.
God bless you, praise the Lord.
There is a sweet sister from the States who writes, I have been wondering for some time now if Paul's words in Timothy concerning woman not being allowed to teach the word of God, does it apply in every context? If so, how can I serve God without being able to teach or talk about him if the Bible says I should keep silent? I'm not sure why God would say this, but maybe I'm missing something. Does this apply only to church buildings? Or should woman just not teach the Bible in general, including witnessing, evangelizing? Would God see that as disobedience if a woman teaches the word of God?
Well, this is you're touching a subject which is quite a controversy in many churches.
Right. It is. And there are lots of different opinions. Different churches apply different doctrines in this sense.
See, because there is some true and false in both sides, you see. Because the Bible does say that the woman has to be subjected. It's under the husband's authority. Right? It says right here in the...
Shall we first read the Timothy scriptures, which the sister talks about?
Yeah. Let's go.
All right, we go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression.
Well, you see, when God punished Adam and Eve and the devil, he made like a progression, a graduatory, like in different measures. Like the devil was condemned to a lake of fire, the woman was condemned to submit to Adam, mm-hmm. and Adam was punished to get out of the Garden of Eden together with Eve. But on top of that, God gave Eve also the punishment to be submitted to the husband, because she actually, like Paul brings out here, she was deceived.
So are you saying before the fall they were equal in the garden?
Yeah, they were equal.
She wasn't subjected to Adam, she wasn't obedient and submitted?
They were equal, like there was no evil. They hadn't eaten the fruit of good and evil, so their spirit, their soul are not getting... was not not gotten full of evil and not received this contamination. And now, see, you have a carnal mind, you never know what you think is right or wrong. It's all a mess. Our carnal mind is a mess.
It
That's
is.
Why we memorize scripture and we read the word every day to brainwash ourselves the right way, the right washing, Jesus washing. So the woman is definitely to be submitted to the husband. There is no way around it. Okay, that's scriptural.
But it doesn't say to the husband. It says, I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man.
Yeah, we'll get into that. I was going to talk about that too. First of all, I'm going to say this woman's liberation trip that they have today, that the woman is equal to men, that's wrong. Because in this world, there is nothing equal. In every form of government, in any, like if you go to the military, to the police, if you go to a firm, if you go to a shop, there is always a leader, always. Democracy is just a smoke in your eyes by the devil to make you think and believe that everybody can be equal. Equality is an impossibility.
But you did say that God created Adam and Eve equal.
Yes. In the kingdom of God, they were equal. But in this world, it's impossible. But even in the kingdom of God, even though Adam and Eve were equal, it's like there is always a difference in the kingdom of God. Like the archangel is above the angel, Jesus is above the archangels, mm-hmm. and so on. Even in heaven, there is always a priority because there are absolute. First comes God, then the Son, the Holy Spirit, the archangel, etc. I'm sure that even though Eve had not been condemned to submit to Adam in the Garden of Eden, I'm sure that Adam had the leadership. All right, because a woman was created to help man and not the other way around.
Yeah, it's true.
But the thing is that the true Adam in the spirit was an image of Christ, and he was loving Eve like Christ loved the church, so there was no problem. Mm-hmm. All right, it's all in this world you get these differences. So, well, the woman's liberation, the delusion, they don't understand that they want equality between men and women, which is actually, it's a lie, because actually they want the preeminence, they want the leadership, which they actually, in many situations they got. In many countries, the woman is like has been put above men. Like now, the woman has taken the place of the man. But in the Bible, it was not like that. The Bible was a patriarchal society. Like it was the father, the leader of the house, or the father was leading everything. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, some people say, yeah, but what about there are some perverts, some people beat their wives, they get drunk, they're violent, they beat the children, the wives, etc. Of course, that happens, but that is not the God system, God patriarchal system. That's the devil system. That is, somebody who's a pervert, who's violent, beats their wife, etc., etc. It's not the biblical patriarch. It's the devil's husbands, understand? But the way God set it up, the husband was the image of Christ. In that sense, he can keep the authority.
All right, so you're saying that this woman liberation is just something wrong and we should follow the Bible principle, right? The woman be silent and submitted.
Yeah, but yes, and conclusion, even if the woman liberation would have their way, that the woman would take the place of the man as the leader of the house and the family, that doesn't mean that she's going to be any less perverted than some of the husbands we have around today. So it doesn't change anything. You change from one bad guy to a bad girl. Mm-hmm. So what we need to do, go back to the Bible. In the Bible, God set up a patriarchal system. That's in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, as we see here in this chapter we're studying, 1 Timothy 2, it didn't change. So do not allow the woman to use authority over the man. Now, this word man here, it's a mistranslation. It's not translated right. So I'm answering your question now. Where it says, can you read it again, verse 12?
But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence.
Okay, so this word over the man is a mistranslation, all right? Why? Because if you go to the Greek, the word man, okay, is the word aneir, something like that. I don't know.
That's in Greek.
Yeah.
And what does it mean?
The word man in Greek, aneir, you can see in the Strong's dictionary, it means man, but it means also husband. The first guy translated this into man instead of husband. It was followed by all the other translations. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's unscriptural. Okay, how do
so we? The original Bible says husband.
The original Bible says aneir, which means both husband and man. That's why Bible, they have the option to put one or the other. They went, they all followed the first translation, which they picked. It's a matter of a choice. You can choose to put man or husband. Everybody just followed.
Okay, but what difference does it make?
A big difference.
Authority over man or over husband is the same.
A big difference, because you see, the way it says here, I don't allow a woman to use authority over a man, is like it doesn't go with the rest of the scriptures. So when you have a choice of, in a translation, you have a choice, you can pick the translation, the meaning, because sometimes words have different meaning. When you pick, you have to be careful to pick the translation, the version, which goes with the rest of the scriptures. That's how you make your choices. So how do we know here should have been husband? Okay, first of all, it makes a big difference, because if he says a woman cannot have authority over a man, that means the greatest woman of God, the greatest female full of spiritual gifts, missionary, etc., has to be submitted under every man. Like the smallest and the littlest man in a church who has no talents, maybe he's a murmurer, maybe he's a selfish, maybe he doesn't do anything for God, but he's a man. Mm-hmm. So he would have authority over, for example, a woman who's full of gifts, who's a prophetess, who's a missionary, who's an evangelist. Mm-hmm. That doesn't go. Mm-hmm. Because this man in the church can tell her, stop evangelizing. Understand? And that's an scripture. Why? Because if you go to Acts chapter 2, you see that there are scripture. You can read that. Can you read Acts 2? You go to 17, 18 over there.
1 second.
It's a very beautiful scripture. It illustrates the point I'm trying to make.
Acts 2, 17.
Yeah. And 18.
Yes. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, And your young man shall see visions, and your old man shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
Okay, go to 1 Corinthians now, chapter 12, verse 28. Here's another very important scriptures on this subject.
1 Corinthians
12:28.
And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues.
So you understand what he's saying here? That God put in the church first the apostle, but second what?
Then prophets.
Prophets. So if God is sending his Holy Spirit on the handmaidens and on the daughters, they're going to prophesy. So you see here, these women who prophesy, they are above teachers and workers of miracles and workers of healings and governments and tongues, etc. So a woman that prophesies is superior than a man who speaks in tongues, who does miracle, and who's a teacher in the church. So how can this woman be superior than this man if she's supposed to be submitted under every man?
I see. So it means that a woman that's married is submitted and cannot say anything, and a woman that's not married can be free?
It means more specifically...
Because I'm not married.
Right. Well, you can still learn submissions. All right. You can still have to submit to the elders of the church.
Amen.
So it means that 1 Timothy chapter 2, that the woman has to be submitted under the husband. It makes sense because she is submitted to one man, her husband. In other words, she cannot go home and rebuke the husband every day because he leaves his flip-flops around or because he leaves his jacket out of place. She cannot do that. She has to be very polite and give respect due to the husband. We're talking about godly family here. I'm not talking about a pervert who gets drunk and beats the wife. For me, that's not even a marriage. That's a devil setup. I'm talking about godly family. But also another thing I want to say. Let me make another parenthesis here. See, the word woman, where it says the woman, don't allow the woman to use authority over the husband. It's another thing here. The word woman here is gune, which means woman and wife. It means both.
Okay.
You understand? So that's the misunderstanding that some people get. So the best, the proper application here, better translation would have been, I don't allow the wife to have authority over the husband. That's what it really means in Scripture. How do we know? By the context of all the rest of the Scripture in the whole Bible. Okay, because a woman has to be submitted to the husband. Okay, but what if she's not married? Okay, so it doesn't go.
Yes.
So what, you're a single woman, right? Yeah. Which husband is supposed to submit? You understand? So it doesn't apply. So what it really means here, you have to be you get married, submitted to the husband, not to every man in the church. So when you read in this context, it makes sense. So the wife cannot go home and use authority over the husband. Why? Because Eve was put in submission under Adam. And so the wife is not supposed to have authority over the husband. When it comes to practical, material things, the woman is always submitted. When it comes to the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, it's a different story. She can prophesy, she can have gifts of healing, she can have everything. And in that sense, she can be above everybody around. In this, there are 1,000 people there in unity and they're praying together. And a woman starts prophesying. All the others are to be quiet and listen to the woman because God is speaking through the woman. Okay, and all the others are submitted under the woman who is prophesying to 1,000 people. It doesn't matter in the 1,000 people there is pastors and there are teachers, because like it says in 1 Corinthians 12:28, first apostles and then prophets and then teachers. So you can go to a church which is full of teachers, men, but a little woman, a dishwasher, gets a prophecy, she gets up, starts prophesying, all the teachers of the church, they have to be quiet.
But this cannot
be. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, in the presence of God, who has chosen these little, let's call it a dishwasher, to make an illustration, okay, to prophesy through her, a woman that may not have diplomas, may not have theology teaching, nothing, but she gets a prophecy. And then all the teachers of the church are submitted under her. Because first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. So the teachers are under the prophet. So when a woman prophesies, she's above the teachers. The teachers in the church, 1 Corinthians 12:28.
Now, if a woman that's married prophesies in the church, she still has to be in subjection to the husband when she prophesies. She cannot be in contradiction with him, no?
She doesn't have to be submitted to the husband when it comes to the spiritual gifts, because she's submitted to another husband, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. So if Jesus gives his wife, because Jesus married to all the church, Jesus gives to one of his wives, this girl here, a prophecy. She doesn't have to ask permission to the husband if she can prophesy. Because the husband may be the best husband in the world, but he may not have the gift of discernment, and he might not know when he's God speaking, when God is not speaking. So,
and what if the husband doesn't like her prophecy? Is she unsubmitted?
Well, this is the case many times, in fact. That's exactly what happens. We know situations that there are wives who get revelation from God, for example, to get out of the West of America, and the husband doesn't want, and it's a problem.
So then?
And so then she has to decide which husband she wants to please, Jesus, the spiritual
husband. Yeah, but
Timothy
says to listen to your husband. Timothy says obey
it. But it doesn't say in the gifts of the Spirit. It's different. Mm-hmm. See, Jesus is not always to bring unity in a family. You know, Jesus is not always keeping. Sometimes Jesus splits couples. Mm-hmm. Understand? So what God has put together, let no man divide, let no man put asunder. But how many of these marriages God really put together?
Now, Jesus said the only reason for separation and divorce is adultery. So why would Jesus split couples?
Well, there are situations like, for example, Lot and his wife in Sodom. Jesus said in Matthew 10, 34, I didn't come to bring peace, but I came to bring a sword from do you want to read it?
Yes.
Matthew 10, look, I don't want to misspell it or something.
Okay.
Because this thing is so strong that some people are not going to believe it, even if you read it in the Bible. So you better read it in the Bible, that's the problem, they don't want to believe it.
So Matthew 10?
Matthew 10, 34 until 37, 38, over there.
All right, 34, Matthew 10. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it.
So, it's not true that Jesus always came to bring unity.
Well, he talks about mother and father, son and daughter,
right?
Not children and husband.
But it also means that. You want to read that too?
Yes.
Okay. sure.
Sorry, I just want to make sure we don't make a mistake.
Go 9 chapter further up, Matthew 19:29.
Matthew 19:29. And everyone that has forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. It says children and wife.
There are situations. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, then if the wife follows you, when it's possible, you take your wife with you. For example, in 1 Corinthians 9:5, one time I was talking to a Catholic priest about celibacy, and I was saying, look, why do you guys don't marry? So that would stop for sure a lot of pedophile, a lot of homosexuality,
right?
Which is abomination and the reason God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, well, that's just a sacrifice we want to do. And I said, well, listen, it's not scriptural. And he said, why not? I said, because even what's considered the first pope for the Catholic Church, Peter, he was going around witnessing with a woman with us. He was going around evangelizing sometimes with a woman, and the woman with his wife. He said, that's not true. I said, it is true. Peter, Saint Peter, which he considered the first pope, he was going around evangelizing the streets or whatever. Many times he would bring a woman with him, his wife. I said, that's not possible. So I said, well, do you have a Bible here? So he pulled out 10 kilos Bibles. So he said, look, read it. 1 Corinthians 9. It says exactly that. First Corinthians 9. You want to go, Serge?
Yes, it's interesting. Let me see. First Corinthians 9.
5, verse 5. I think it's verse 5.
Okay. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord, and Cephas? So it wasn't just Peter.
Yeah, and everybody could bring a wife with him. It's like, in other words, a Christian never divorces his wife. If anything, Lot gets out of Sodom, and his wife gets stuck behind because she loves Sodom more than God. Mm-hmm. It becomes such a fault. Many times, I know stories of missionary Christians that to follow the Lord, and the wives or the husband, they didn't want it. They continue following Jesus. They never divorce, mm-hmm. but the one who did not love the Lord did. So a Christian never divorced. He's been divorced. He's always a victim. I can tell you stories. And they say, you never divorce your spouse. You continue serving Jesus. Often gets to a point that the other half a heart Christian, whatever, says, look, if you don't stop going evangelizing, I'm going to divorce you. Well then at this point, you have to see, like Peter said in Acts chapter 5, he said to the Pharisee, whether the authority, Peter said to them, should we obey your God? So sometimes you have to choose. It's forbidden to preach the gospel in the schools, but I have to obey Jesus, who said to preach the gospel everywhere, or the devil and the Christ system that says in school I cannot preach the gospel. I'll obey Jesus. If I get fired, glory of God will follow me if I get fired. He'll give me a better job.
I have a question. According to Timothy, a woman cannot have authority over the husband, a married woman. Can that married woman go and evangelize on the streets?
According to spiritual gifts, like in our mission, we always send people 2x2 or 3x3. Usually we don't send people alone. A girl, a woman alone is not recommendable because she can get in trouble. Also, she might fall into temptation. Even a man, we don't send men alone to evangelize. Even when I go out, with all my years of experience, I always take somebody with me. You know very well.
Yes, yes.
Because there are temptations in the world.
But there Jesus sent them 2x2, his disciples.
There is pornography, prostitution, your flesh is weak, a guy can get into drinking. It's like, you better not go alone. Ecclesiastes says, two is better than one, but woe to the man that when he falls, he's alone, and he has nobody to help him get up. He's talking in despair. When you fall in the devil's ditch, into some adultery, into some temptations, be careful. The flesh is weak. We must be very careful. No, we don't send people alone. We really avoid
no.
them.
Okay,
nevertheless, if you're shopping, if you're alone, you're shopping in a shop, and there is a girl at the cashier or somebody, of course, it's not forbidden. It's not the best choice.
It has to be a girl, or a woman can evangelize a man?
Well, you can evangelize whoever you want. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know churches that women can evangelize a man can evangelize a woman. Jesus evangelized a woman at the well, at the Samaritan. It's like, as long as you are in God's will and in the Spirit, mm-hmm. you can evangelize whoever you want.
Now, according to Timothy, a married woman should not teach, or should not teach only her husband.
No, a woman can teach anybody, anyone, anywhere, wherever the Holy Spirit leads her.
But do you have any other scriptural support for this? Because Timothy is quite clear. A woman should be silent, in subjection, not teach.
In front of the husband. Because this word in Greek, it doesn't mean just a man. It means an ear. It means also husband.
I understand. So I just want to make sure.
No, you have to understand that this is important. Because it's sad a man, it cannot be man and husband at the same time, because a woman is married, doesn't go with a man. It has to go with her husband. It's a big difference. So we need to understand, first of all, if it's husband or man. So according to the context of the other scriptures, that a woman can prophesy, and a prophetess is above the teachers of the church, then that's unscriptural. Mm-hmm. Because if she's supposed to be submission under man, okay, so, excuse me, then how is she going to prophesy, since a prophetess is above the teacher of the church?
Yes, I understand. But I want to make sure that the Bible supports this interpretation, that it talks about husband, not all men. So I want to know if the Bible has other scriptures about this.
Well,
I know Peter also was mentioning about woman being silent, or no?
Well, all over the Bible, but not just the woman be silent, also men should be silent. Paul talked about big mouth men. It should be silenced. There is a time for women, there is a time for men. It, of course, it depends. Like, for example, in I think is, what is it, Romans? In Romans chapter 16, I believe verse 1. Can you read this? Talks about a sister, their name is Phoebe.
Okay. Romans 16:1. Mm-hmm. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Cenchrea.
Okay. So the word servant there is the Greek diakonos, which if you look in the Strong Dictionary, Bible Dictionary, it says diakonos means teacher or pastor. Mm-hmm. So she was a teacher and or pastor of the church. Mm-hmm. So as you see, it's like, of course, there were not many, because you see, there were still the early church, it kind of was a little screwed up. You know, it wasn't, you can see in Acts chapter 15, they still wanted to circumcise the people and all the stuff. And they rebuked Peter in Acts chapter 10 and 11 because he went to the centurion and he contaminated himself. They're like, the church had ways to go. There was old wine and old bottle spirit, okay, which it took time for the church. But eventually they fell in the same ditch again. So trying to squash the women down. Today, in whatever church you go, the women are more spiritual. Just about every church, there are more women than men. Because men today are kind of a little bit out of the spirit than the majority. The women are closer to God in the majority. They are more like the Holy Spirit. The men, they're there with their feet on the table, watching TV. Give me a beer. Cook for me. I'm the man. I'm the boss. Yeah. It's like the woman is more like the image of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking in general. Of course, there are exceptions.
So why didn't Jesus make it very clear, and between his 12 disciples have also a few women? Then nobody would have doubts.
He had women. Yeah, he had women. Yeah, read it. Luke 8, 2 and 3. He appeared to a woman, Mary Magdalena, like the resurrections. He didn't appear to the men, and not even to his apostles, even though they were the first one to get to the tomb. They were running there. They were having a race competition between John and Peter, and John in his book said, I got there first. So even though John got there first and Peter got there second, they both had to leave with empty hands because Jesus was waiting for another person, a woman who was going to come later, Mary Magdalena. And to her, he appeared. Why this great honor if she was supposed to be inferior? See, like it says in Galatians 3:28, there is no male or female in Christ Jesus. There is no...
Can we read that?
Which one?
Galatians?
3:28.
Okay, 1 second. So that's a good
there
one.
There is no bond or free. There is no slave or what. There is no Jew, no Greek. Gentile or Jew, how does it say? And there is no male or female. You know, in front of Jesus, there is no women anymore. There is no man. There is just faithful or unfaithful.
Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Understand? So, one key scripture is 1 Timothy 1:9. The law is made for the sinner. So as long as you walk under grace and in obedience, everything is fine. You are above the law of Moses. But the moment you get out of the spirit, you start murmuring, you get selfish, you don't go evangelizing, etc., then you fall under the law. Which law? Well, whatever law of the Old Testament is not finished yet. Whatever law of the Old Testament applies. Jesus came to fulfill a lot of laws. He didn't fulfill every law, because there is a lot of laws in the Old Testament he didn't fulfill. Like, thou shalt not kill. People say, we know under the Ten Commandments. But excuse me, but I heard some Christians say, we don't have to obey the Ten Commandments anymore. That's stupid. Because doesn't mean you can go around killing and stealing and committing adultery. Of course not. So of course we are under the Ten Commandments. Of course the law is still valid if you walk in the flesh, if you walk in selfishness. Okay. So there is no male or female in Christ Jesus. So the husband has to submit to his wife when she prophesies, even though he has authority over her flesh. No husband in the world ever received authority over his wife in the spirit, because that's the place of Jesus. Mm-hmm. When the wife prophesies, the husband better shut up. Silence. The wife is prophesying. In the moment, she's not your wife anymore. She's Jesus. Jesus is talking to you. And your husband, you better take notes. We know situation that is not always the husband, the spiritual leader. A lot of situations, I know a lot of preachers, they go on TV, and some of them are very good.
Yeah.
And they are the spiritual leader of the family.
Yes.
When it comes to the spirit, the operation of the gifts of the spirit, the prophesying, teaching, preaching the gospel. In the house, just like correctly, some of these women I'm thinking of right now, they proclaim that in the house, they are very much submitted to the husband.
In material things.
In material things. Like, she's not supposed to go home and argue about what to cook, how to set the house in place, what car to buy, what color the car should be. A smart husband will counsel, because the women are very smart. Okay, it's only a silly husband who doesn't counsel with a wife. The guy usually is divorced. Mm-hmm. Because smart husband will counsel the wife, will listen a lot of times, she'll have better idea than him, right, even materially. Right. But when it comes to the spirit, that ends, that the gift of the spirit decides who the leader is.
I understand.
In the Old Testament. Look, in the Old Testament, we have Deborah with the judge of Israel. Ruth, okay, the wife of Boaz, she was a Moabite. Rahab, Jericho, she was a prostitute. There was the law here. According to the law, these women, they couldn't have been, she couldn't have been the judge of Israel. And much more today, that Jesus came, that the grace came, there is no male nor female, and much more today. In the New Testament, there were little, there were very few Phoebe, admit it. Did you read Luke 8, 3?
No.
Let's read that.
I never got to read it. Luke 8?
Yeah, 2 and 3.
Okay.
He said Jesus didn't have disciples. Jesus didn't have apostle women, but he did have disciples. Read it.
And certain women which have been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance.
Okay. So, as you see, Jesus had women disciples who were even supporting him financially and materially.
Yeah, actually, in verse 1, it says that they were going from village to village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women were going from village to village with him.
These women were following, all right? And they were disciples for sure. They were not apostles. Wait, God chose 12 men because he needed men. It was a hard job, a difficult job, etc., etc., etc. It's like it wouldn't have been nice for Jesus to come and pick up Peter's wife as a disciple, okay, and to leave Peter home to nurse the babies. You understand? So, of course, he left the wife to the husband. But as far as disciple, no. And a lot of these women, I tell you, the husband didn't agree with them, and they still had to follow. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the husband, Lot was a husband of his wife, but he didn't agree with his wife. He didn't even look back. He just forsook her there right in Sodom.
I believe that's very liberating for lots of women to know that they can freely evangelize. I mean, me, I'm a woman, and I'm really grateful for that.
Yeah, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. See, one of the problems is that some of us have this mentality from the Old Testament, from the law. We are approaching the age of grace, the New Testament, with a law mentality. But we must understand that once we enter in Christ Jesus and we are walking in obedience, then we are back to the grace of Adam and Eve before the fall. This is not a license, I'm under grace, I can disobey, not at all. If this is what you think, then you are under the law for sure. So we must understand that we are back again now if we walk in obedience, following the commandment of Christ, not perfectly, but as much as we can. Mm-hmm. Don't get discouraged when you sin and you make a mistake. You confess, forsake, God forgives. But we are back in the Garden of Eden again, at least in our hearts, at least in our relationships, at least in our friendship, at least in everything we are doing. We're back in the days of the Garden of Eden before the fall, as long as we walk in Jesus Christ, as long as we do all we can. Understand? So it's not anymore this law mentality, the woman is submitted, I am the boss, the woman, be silent, I talk. It's not like that anymore. If you're a woman, if you have a husband, if you husband, if you have a wife that she loves the Lord and she does what she can, nobody can do perfectly, not even you or me, but if she does what she can, please just give her the benefit of the doubt. She's trying, poor girl. She's trying to do her best. If she loves the Lord, there is not any more male or female in Christ Jesus, because it's like we have the authority of the husband. You know, the husband, Christ Jesus. Like in a couple, when you both, husband and wife, are married to Jesus, there is no problem with the husband anymore because it's clear who the husband is. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get out of this law mentality. Who's the boss here? I'm supposed to be the boss. It's written here. Look, Leviticus. Let's get out of this.
Now, I want to ask you, you started by saying that woman liberation is wrong. Now, why is it wrong if Galatians says there is no male, no female in Christ?
Because the women's liberation, they're not doing it with the purpose of becoming one with Christ, but with the purpose of taking over, with the purpose of having the preeminence. See, in this world, everybody knows and the devil knows, and in the hearts of the women libers, they know that there is no real equality. It's only only the dummies can believe that there is democracy, that there is equality. All the communists with their shirts, with a bicycle, all happy. All the capitalists, all the democrats in America and Europe, that all the democracy is going to make everybody equal. It's a lie of the devil. Mm-hmm. Democracy is the dictatorship of the majority and the oppression of the minority. That's democracy. And so a woman's liberation, that the woman is equal to men, it's impossible. One time I watched the news, they interviewed a captain of the Israeli army. She was a woman. And they were talking about the women soldiers in Israel, how good they were, and a great fighter. And the point was that they were kind of like men. And she interrupted. She said, wait a minute. Don't believe that stuff. Mm-hmm. Say, it's not true. It's not true. Like in a hand-to-hand combat, a woman cannot fight a man.
Of course.
Unless the man is a little guy, she's a super duper woman. Normally speaking, is like you never seen a boxing match, a woman against a man. Of course, there are big women can beat up a little man anytime, but that is not the normality.
No, it's not.
So she was saying, listen, I've seen with my experience crossing the desert, moving in a battle, sometimes you have to walk 30 kilometers with 50 kilos of armaments in your back. And it's not the same, he said. No. He said, I prefer to have men.
Please.
She is a captain, a woman of the Israeli army. He said, I prefer men to go to a fight. Because a hand-to-hand fight, a bayonet, to stick a knife in the other guy, tell you it's not a job for a woman. Some women will do it. They've been trained enough, but it's not normal.
It's not.
The place for a woman is in the kitchen making nice lasagna, cannelloni, ravioli, fettuccine, la bolognese.
All Italian food?
Well, I am origin Italian, so that's my weakness. And as you know, I give trouble to the cooks all the time. But we good, right?
We do.
Praise the Lord. So the place of a woman is like the flower of the house, the princess, the queen of the house. She's the one that loves the Lord and that she sees the Jesus in her husband, in her brother. I'm talking about Christian family, like our mission here. It's like the woman represents the Holy Spirit. It's the most beautiful thing God created to balance us men, right? We really need help. Praise God.
Now, conclusion, I want to make a resume of what I got out of this class. Women, they can freely evangelize, teach, prophesy, as long as they are in the spirit of Christ. Like when a woman is in the right spirit of God, which is always a humble spirit, she can speak whatever God tells her.
I'm not walking in pride, but in humility.
Right. But as far as a married woman being in her house with her husband or even outside of her house, in material, practical things, she has to be submitted and obedient.
Oh, of course. Definitely, because that's a commandment in the Bible. It's only the gifts of the Spirit that are not submitted under the law. In Romans 13, verse 8 until 10, I believe, it says, thou shalt not commit adultery, shalt not kill, shalt not steal, etc., are all comprehended in one word, this, thou shalt love your neighbor as yourself. Love is not, either works in love, Paul says, is above the law. Either loves is not under the law. It is, as long as you walk in love, you're not under the Ten Commandments. Because if you walk in love, you're not going to kill, you're not going to steal your best friend's wife to commit adultery. You're walking in love. You're trying to fix the marriage, not to destroy. You're working in love. But if you walk in the flesh, in selfishness, then you go under another category. 1 Timothy 1:9, the law is made for the sinner. You know, saying for the, it doesn't say for the unsaved, for the Jews, for the non-Christian, non-born again. It says for the sinner. And then he gives a list. Mm-hmm. The sinners who do this, the sinners who do that, etc. So you walk in love as much as you can. You never be perfect, but you walk in love. You try to, you're not under the law.
Okay, what about the unmarried sisters, the single ones? they don't submit to anybody? How is it?
They submitted to the pastor, to the elders.
I see.
To the older brother.
But they have more freedom than the married?
No, it's the same. No, not at all. See, marriage is not a punishment.
Sorry, it's because...
Is that why you didn't get married?
No, I mean, there are many blessings in not being married. Just as I know there are many blessings in being married, I'm in favor of marriage. But in my case, that's how it is. I prefer it like this. So I want to say that, yes, even for single sisters in my mission...
Yeah, because you have mercy on... You have mercy on the men, or
right,
because
yes.
The men are not worthy of you?
No, I have mercy on them, poor things.
Okay.
Actually, it's because there is nothing in this world that I desire anymore. This world has nothing to offer me.
I noticed you have a wedding ring on.
Well, that's my symbol of marriage with Jesus, of engagement at least.
Praise the Lord.
That if he thinks I'm worthy to be married with him, it's going to be his decision.
It's a marriage ring and the right finger, so I believe it means you feel married.
On the left,
Jesus,
yes.
The people ask him, if they see the ring, they stop courting, you understand, right?
They actually check my hand. And that is a good defense for me.
I remember when you said all the, a lot of boys were bothering you.
Especially the Italians.
Yeah, and then you said, I'm going to get a ring so they can stop bothering you. And then you start wearing a ring. Well, it was a few years ago.
Yes. Amen. All right, I think for me it was clear.
Yes, amen.
So sisters, let's go evangelize.
Go evangelize and do it right in unity and in counsel with your brethren around you, know out of the Spirit, okay? And especially if you evangelize to sin, drug addicts, prostitutes, pimps, whoremongers, be two by two, understand? Because they're going to really try to make fun of you. You do need that help. Mm. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.